Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Thank you, Shirley. Praise God. At this time, I'd just like to invite John McLean up. Pastor John McLean, would you come on up here, brother? Pastor John McLean is the pastor of the Veterans Rescue Mission here in Tucson, and really a great ministry that these guys have to the veterans that have been. You know, how many know that some of those guys, man, they're not working, and they're on the streets. And Pastor John, God has given him a wonderful ministry of bringing these folks in and ministering to them, providing a place for them to sleep. And so I just want to turn this over to him just for a few minutes and let you share a word with us, brother.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Henry. Give a big round of applause for Pastor Henry, rather, because he's definitely supported us for a long time. I want to start off with allowing Leland to speak. Leland's one of the guys in our program. He's been with us for a few months. He's an Army veteran and certainly kind of the epitome of why we started this program back in February of 2018. So everybody, please round of applause for our friend Leland.
Let me start by saying, if it wasn't for this man's mission, I'd be dead. I was addicted to heroin. I was using meth to do more heroin, not sleep. I didn't weigh but maybe 90 pounds. Because of the love and compassion that man showed me, I am clean and have never again. And it's because of his mission. All right. Please support him. He's a great man.
Yeah, whenever I come here, either me or someone with me cries. So at least we got it out of the way. It won't be me this time. So today, definitely when I came to speak with you guys, and I thank Pastor Henry, I mean, just to give you guys background, for those who don't know, your church has made it so my church has existed. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So because of your generosity and the work that Pastor Henry has done for us, or the help that you guys have given us, we've been able to help over 300 veterans get into housing. Yeah. And there's so many appointments, so many things that wouldn't have been possible if this church didn't donate us a van. You know, so you really, guys, you have changed our world. And when I first did this, because, I mean, what, you know, few people know, but if you grab there's a DVD in the back about the documentary about the work we've done over the past decade, starting with me being a homeless person myself. You know, at one time I was, you know, what I am trying to help today, where, you know, I didn't know where I was going to turn. And then, but thankfully, I got God and I got the Bible to refer to. And there's a part that always stuck out to me. It's in Exodus 4:2. It's where Moses, he knew what his calling from God was. He knew what God called of him. But he said, God, just give me a sign. You know, I got all these people behind me. They're cool to follow maybe, but I need like something to prove to them that like I can do this. And then God says to him, and a lot of you, you know, probably know what I'm going to say. What is in your hands? What is in your hands? And for Moses, he looked at the staff in his hands like, well, this is for hitting stubborn sheep. But like, what is this to do? You know, this is just a rod to me. But God knew that he would get water out of a rock with this. He knew that he would part water with this. He knew that he would cast the 10 plagues with this thing that was in his hands. So regularly I asked myself, definitely back in that time when I was homeless and I really didn't have much, God asked me, what is in your hands? So I took the little that I had so I could help those that are around me. And then God kept rewarding me, allowed me to find people like Pastor Henry. And then I, you know, still at that time, I didn't have much, but he said, what is in your hands? And Pastor Henry was in my hands. And I said, I need a van, Pastor Henry, so I can get these guys to where they need to go. And then, and as we move along, because we're still, I mean, I bought a property, 1 acre property that Leland and I live on. We started building tiny houses, and we still got a long way to go. And now God's asking me, he's like, what is in your hands? So I'm here once again, you know, asking like, hey, can I get your help? We're building to the next level. Thankfully, I've been able to help 300 people. Let's help 3,000. And after we help 3,000, let's help 3 million. So once again, I thank you so much for everything you do. But I'm here. God's telling me once again, look in your hands. And we're going to make it happen. We've done so much, but we're going to make it happen so much. And I thank you all. And God bless you all. Thank you.
Praise God. Hey, Pastor John, what branch of the service are you in? He was in the Army. So he's not just a guy that decided he was homeless. He wasn't. He was a homeless veteran. And so, hey, we've got where you can make a check, or you can put that on the on a card if you want to donate to the Veteran Rescue Mission. Hey, listen, this is a good work. It really is. If you were to see the tiny houses, when they call them tiny houses, they're tiny houses. They're one room. They got enough room for a bed, and they're. I mean, it's just bare minimum. Isn't that right, John? Where you at? Yeah, it's just bare minimum. And so they can use all the help we can give them. Amen? I mean, and so God, you know, he doesn't just go to a park, you know, because the parks, they go to the parks, and he doesn't just go to the parks and there's a homeless person there and say, hey, well, were you in the Army? No, okay, well, we'll leave you alone. No, he doesn't do that. If they need a place to stay, they house them. They will house them. They will do their best to get these folks some shelter. Isn't that cool? So just want to praise God for that. So thank you, everybody. If you desire to give to that, you know where the box is at.
Just have your way today.
That song says, heaven come down, spirit break out, break our walls down. We want to see your kingdom here.
Yes, Lord.
But nothing's going to happen unless we do something. We are the kingdom. I've been reading in Exodus, and I shared this with the ladies. But this verse really stuck out to me. And it's Exodus chapter 10, verse 3. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may worship me. What is God telling you to do? What is he asking you to give up? How long will you refuse to humble yourself? We need to listen to him. Put away our stubbornness and do what he is asking of us. We need to be the kingdom.
Good morning. You know, as I'm hearing that song right now, heaven come down, see your presence here on this earth, Lord. We saw heaven come down this morning, people. Here was two young men that the adversary thought he had a hold of. He thought that, you know what, that's it for them. But God said, no, you just saw heaven come down. You just saw these two men released in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing can hold them back. You know, when God comes into our hearts, nothing holds us back. One thing that the Lord put in my mind right now was this. He said, you know what? If you got $5 and that's all you have, give it. You might say, well, it's only a dollar, Lord. It's only five. Give it. If it's 50, give it. If it's 100, give it. I mean, God is getting ready to do things on this earth. But just like my sister just said right now, we need to do something about it. We can't just stay here and let everybody else do something. You know, that's what we got to do. You know, and yesterday I love my grandbabies. you know when you go to school and you have show and tell a long time ago? I want to show and tell my two oldest grandbabies. You guys, both of you guys stand up real quick. Devin and Jaden. I love these boys. You can sit down, guys. You know, those are my two oldest grandbabies, and we had Bible study yesterday at my house. We had a devotion time, and I'm just, you know, speaking the kingdom into them, because you know the adversary is out to rob, to destroy, and to kill. You know, yeah, they have a lot of pressure out there. You know, with their friends and so on. You know, they're sometimes they want to listen to more to the flesh than to what God wants them to do. You know, so I was explaining to them, you know, how we're made, you know, because I go, you know what? I go, you don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. Every one of us was made with the spirit inside of us. You know, we, you know, and I was explaining to them how their body, right, their flesh wants a lot. Your flesh gets hungry for the things of this world because our soul was created for the things of this world, so, you know. But as I'm explaining to them, and then they're learning, and then we go back and we say, what did you guys learn? And then when they come back and they tell me what they learned, it just, man, it just makes me happy on the inside. But I just want to leave you with this, is that, you know what, don't wait until one of your sons and daughters are and maybe in one of these homes that they're talking about. You know, give now, you know, so that way, I don't know, to me, it's almost like if I give now, Lord, I'm not going to see them in those little homes. I'm not going to see them out there struggling. And don't give up praying for your grandsons. Don't give up praying for your daughter, you know, because God is so great. God is so great. You know, you might, I tell you one thing. I bet you there was somebody praying for these two men. Somebody was out there praying for them. That's why they came to the presence of God. And just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Thank God for Pastor Henry. He's an awesome pastor. Amen. Scene 1, 2, there it is.
Hi, I just wanted to say, yesterday I learned about how Jesus loves us and never will fail on us. And I just wanted to tell everybody out there, you guys have a heart, even if you don't think you do. And Jesus loves you no matter what. And He will love you through every stage you go through and every place you go. He will be with you everywhere and every place. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He'll be preaching pretty soon.
Last week, we had the kids up here with us, and it was really awesome, right? Because it's a generation that's being raised understanding that there's nothing that they can't do if they have God fighting with them. As we get older, somehow we sometimes lose that, right? It's things that happen in life, just learning, I guess, right? About the way that science and math and everything else works. But the truth is that the kingdom doesn't operate that same way. And we're meant to walk in the kingdom. The amazing thing about this song is that we have talked about this, I don't know, month after month now, I even feel like, but especially the last few weeks, there's been a lot of conversations about us learning to step out. And what I really enjoy about this song is the when it talks about spirit break out, break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. It's not just words. It's a promise that's been given to us. It really is. The Bible constantly talks about the secrets that He's given us, the things of the kingdom. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of our life, there begins to be something that happens within us. It's revelation. It's a rumbling. It's like a fire starting. It just begins to ignite. And as you go after it and you allow the Holy Spirit to just pour in, it's like a fuel to that fire. It just begins to rage, and it just goes, and it goes, and it goes, and it's just because you're focused on the Father. It has nothing to do with you saying, I need to go here, I need to do this, I need to speak to that person. No, just focus on the Father. And as you focus on Him, those things will just come. There are people needing things in this world, and it's not you that has the answer, it's Him who has the answer. And until we learn to operate in the kingdom, Oh, man. Come on. We're not doing what he created us for. You know, have any of you... is anybody watching The Chosen? Okay. I don't know if you noticed, the last one ended on a really awesome note. But when it started again, one of the first things... in the first episode, John's talking about how much God loved him. Do you remember a sermon that we had where my dad talked about how much God loved John? And that's the thing, is that when you're flowing in the Spirit, we're all flowing as one. It doesn't matter that we've never met who made that series. Because the Holy Spirit, it's not... he's different in each single one of you guys. Yeah, he deals with us differently because it's unique for our relationship with him. But he's not teaching you to be against that person. He's not the one telling you, you should think this way, but that person should think this way. He's not the one who's creating divisions. No, as you go after him, you'll begin to see that there's unity in everything. The churches in this town, we should be praying for every single one. Not because we're wanting for us to fail, somebody else to fail. No, because we love God and God loves people. God wants people. He wants to give them something new. He wants to show them that there's more to life. He wants to give them life and life more abundantly. When they're feeling down, he wants to love on them. And it doesn't matter if they walk through these doors. It doesn't matter if they walk through Common Ground doors. It doesn't matter if they walk through Grace Church doors. It doesn't matter, because as long as they're meeting with him, that's what matters. We should be supporting each other. Do you know how much more we could do if we all just broke the walls down and said, God, it's all about you. I don't care. I don't care who made me upset. I don't care who hurt my feelings. I don't care about any of that, because I'm here for you. It's a mindset, guys. It really is. It's starting to realize that those little things don't matter. Those emotions that try to get in the way. No, put the Spirit first. Put him ahead of you and let him lead you and guide you in every single thing that you do. And you'll start to notice that those little things that used to bother you before, they're nothing now, because now we're walking in the kingdom. Man, I really liked what Micaiah said, because it doesn't matter if you're sitting in your seat, if you're standing, if you're kneeling, if you're running, if you're walking, if you just go after the Father, he's gonna meet you there. But so many times we walk through those doors and we don't even realize that we completely missed an appointment because we just wouldn't surrender. We wouldn't allow him to do what he wanted to do. And that's not always giving up, right? Something. It's just saying, God, I want more of you. And in this moment, I'm going to let it all go so that I can meet with you. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to care what happens. I'm not going to care where I'm at, what happened 2 minutes ago, what happened a few days ago. I'm just here to meet with you. Guys, come on. What's important? What's your focus on? What is your priority? Is it to meet with the Father? Is it to get more? Or is it about the things happening around you? It's just like the boat. It doesn't matter about the crashing waves. It doesn't matter what's happening. Just get out and keep your eyes on him. Amen. He'll guide you through it. He will not let you sink. Woo! Man. He's here every time. It never changes. He's here to meet with you every time. The difference is how we come in. Do we come in ready, open hearts, ready to meet him? Or do we come in too focused on everything else happening that we completely shut it out? Whew. Man, God's gonna start doing some amazing things in this whole valley. It's not gonna be just here. The Bible specifically talks about some things that are gonna have to happen before he comes. And one of them is his church operating the way it's supposed to. He's watching. He's looking for his bride. And it's gonna happen. It will happen. And if it has to be these little ones who grow up realizing I can do all things and never letting anything get in the way, there will be a generation, no matter what, that says, I don't care. I'm walking in the kingdom. I don't care if it seems impossible. I don't care if that mountain seems enormous. You said I could move it, and I'm moving it. We gotta start operating that way. We gotta realize that he's got something for us. Whoo! Spirit breakout. Man, let's not keep it in this box of this is how everything should be. That's the thing about what we're trying to do here. It's not to keep you in this certain way of doing things. It's to teach you. You have a one-on-one relationship with God. You are independently dependent on him. Not because the church is telling you to do something. Not because the church. No, we're here to support you. We're here to love on each other. We're here to encourage. We're here to help. We're here to do all of those things. But you can go straight to the Father for all your needs. It's you. You got it. He is within you. He's already given you all things that you need. But it's a relationship. Go after him. Go after him. And when you feel like you're tired, keep going. Keep going after him. Because he has more. He wants to give you more. Every single thing. The Bible talks about precept upon precept because it's a building. When you feel like things aren't happening, he's giving you words that are building you up. They're like a staircase. They just keep moving you forward. Because that's the thing, is that he's got some things that he's definitely going to deal with each of us on. He's definitely got things that he's going to show each of us. And that's the thing, if we realize that those things, regardless of how small, are leading us to something more. Just keep going. Man, just keep going. Don't be satisfied. That's what I love about the cup runneth over. It doesn't stop because it's full. Man, it keeps going. And it keeps going. Just allow him to pour in. Step out. Oh, man. He's going to do some big things. He is. And it's not us. It's him. And that's the thing. We just got to let him. We got to learn how to step out of the way. We really do. Because this church is not our church. It's his church. It's what he's doing. It's the people in this area he knows he wants to bring in. It's him. And it's okay. It's okay if they come in, we train them up, and they go out. Because that's what it's meant to happen. It really is. And it's not meant for this to be a corral of people. It's meant that we could all be equipped, that we can come here, realize that we're going to grow, we're going to learn, we're going to have some awesome things happen, and they're going to go and they're going to do it elsewhere. Because the goal is the one that got away, the one that's lost out there, the one that he just wants to go get him. But it starts with a pouring that's happening here. He's equipping you. He's equipping you with everything that you need so that it can just begin flowing.
I think I need to speak again today. I was thinking about it this morning, and I keep hearing the words over and over again. God uses us, and we all have stories, and I think he needs to use us to help each other. And growing up, my mother was very ill, so I was in and out of different homes every year. In fact, my husband's parents were my last foster parents. And he can turn our stories, our disasters, into glory. Glory for him, glory for God. Because when we focus on him and we put his kingdom first and we surrender and we let him use us, and we are his church, and we are his hands and feet, and wherever two or three of us are gathered in his name, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And the Spirit can speak for us when we don't have the strength to do it ourselves. And there's hard times, but in that difficult time, to look back and say, I had so many different homes, and some were not nice, and some were wonderful. Most were Christian, some were Jewish. We were even stationed overseas with the army in Turkey for 2 years, so we had Muslim as well. And then we had Desert Storm with a couple of bombs. And so that builds on our story. And then we can help those. We can help those that have those night terrors. We have those. We can help those that have their triggers because we've lived through it. We've survived it. We're here. We've survived it. And so we can use our stories and we can help others. We can help others. We can reach a hand down and we can help somebody with a van and we can help somebody with a tiny house. And we can do this all for the glory of God because we should put God first. Love God and love your neighbor. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. And we can use our stories, no matter how difficult they are, no matter how scary it is, he promises that he's with us. To be courageous and to not be terrified. Joshua 1:9 says, don't be terrified that he's with me. So I'm relying on that because I'm shaking all over. But thank God. Focus on God. You don't have to know what to do. If you just surrender, and sometimes it's daily, he'll show you the way. He'll literally come to your door. He'll send them right to your door. You don't have to, you just have to be still. Be still and know that he is God. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Already had church today, huh? I'm just glad I didn't have to follow your adorable grandson. Yeah. Thank you, worship team. Before we get started here, let's just go ahead and pray. God, I just ask that you be with us today. You reveal your word to us. And Lord, that I'm not going to come here with my own agenda, but I'm here to speak whatever it is you have for your congregation, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that everybody be prepared to receive it, that their hearts are ready. And that this is something that just changes us in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, you know, when I was studying for this sermon, there was a time I got pretty fired up. And I was talking to my wife, and I was like, you know, like, am I, is this just me getting fired up here? Or is this really God wants to say? I was like, God really got to show me that this is what you want. Because if I come up here with my own agenda, if I come up here with just trying to push my opinion on people, it's going to be worthless. It's nothing. So, you know, there was a few things that happened, including the last sermon Pastor Henry gave, where I heard the scriptures, the very first one he gave, and it was in Daniel, and he was talking about that he appoints kings and, you know, deposes the kings. And it goes on to talk about, you know, the understanding that he gives people in the next verse. And I was like, okay, God, I see now. This is really it. Because I even asked God, I was like, you know, is this the right thing to say? Is this, how do I go about it? Because I know people are going to get upset. And, I mean, it's just that it's an issue. It's not good. That, you know, we live in this culture right now where it's just, you know, this cancel culture, outrage at everything without taking a moment to properly discern what is going on. That we come to a snap judgment just because, you know, we don't want to, I guess, control ourselves. You know, in Timothy, it does tell us that he didn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And another translation says self-control. It's one of the greatest things that we have as Christians. I try to live my life by something I read in James, where it says that we are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because anger doesn't produce anything that's worthwhile. We need to be people who just display love. Can you put up that last verse I gave you, the last one I texted you? I think it was in 1 John. Yeah, 1 John 3:23. And it says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. You know, most of those commands that we see in the Bible very basically come down to love God, love others. And Peter, it talks about how, like, when you're maturing in the faith, things build upon each other. One, it says that, you know, with mutual affection, build on this, and then this is build on love. Because mutual affection, that's much easier than actual love. Because mutual affection, if somebody likes you, well, it's easy to like them, right? But if somebody doesn't like you, somebody's in opposition to you, it's very hard to show them love. So the last year and I'd say, you know, a few months has been pretty crazy, I would say, right? We've gone through a pandemic. We've seen racial tensions, the whole election. And the last time I was up here, one of the things I said was, I'm concerned that people, I'm not concerned about who's going to be president, but I'm concerned that people forgot who the king is. And then 3 days later, in front of the Capitol building, I saw a Jesus 2020 flag. On the floor of Congress, people that broke in prayed in Jesus' name. How does that glorify God? But there's a lot of Christians that have got caught up in all that. I just recently learned that somebody who's a friend of mine is, I don't know if you've heard of this kind of stuff recently, but deconstructing their faith. And, you know, we shouldn't look at people to judge how good God is. Never. We should always look at God alone. He's always faithful. His promises are always true. His love is forever. But I can honestly see why people are questioning the title of Christian and Christianity, because it has been drug into places it does not belong. So, besides politicians, you know, there's people that will find teachers, and it even says in the last days that people will search out many different teachers to hear what their itching ears want to hear. I've seen people blow up on YouTube, and I talked about this last time too, about false prophets. I've seen people blow up on YouTube because they were prophesying. Now, I'm just going to say it, that President Trump was going to be in office. Now, when the world sees that, and they see that the prophecy was wrong, does that bring glory to God? And I would say a big reason why those people had so many views is because they were saying what people wanted to hear. We have to be people that are independent of that. We need to say, okay, God, what is it that you truly want? What is it you truly have for us in this moment? So the story of Samuel in Israel, there's a warning against following man. It was the first time where Israel was saying, we want a king like everybody else. And Samuel had given all these warnings. It's like, look, you're going to lose some of your freedom, your property, your possessions. You're going to be slaves. But then in 1 Samuel 8, this is starting in verse 19, it says, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. Now we should know who truly should be leading us. Who should fight our battles? And that's God. God alone should be put in that place if we believe on the name of Jesus. Now, a little bit after that, God tells Samuel to give a specific set of instructions to Saul. He tells Saul that he's supposed to wait 7 days, and then Samuel's going to come and perform a sacrifice. But what happened is the Philistines started assembling their armies, and Saul became frightened because his armies were leaving, fleeing in fear. So he had a specific set of instructions, okay, wait for Samuel to make the sacrifice and then go. But he saw Saul saw his circumstance. That's a tongue twister. And what he did is he's like, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to do this myself. So in in 1 Samuel 13, and this is verse 8, said he waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering just as he finished making the offering. Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. You know, there's a lot of times where that could be something happening in our life where all of a sudden we see the circumstances like, you know what? I can't wait any longer, God. This needs to change now. When all we had to do was just wait a little bit longer. So verse 11 says, what have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal and have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. So it sounds good. Like I was going to make the offering because I wanted God's favor. I mean, we all want that, right? But if you saw the title of the sermon, it said methods matter. If we do something, and we don't, if we have the result that we're looking for, but we didn't do it in the right way, that's not a victory. If God commands us to do something, we need to do it His way. You know, there's a lot of times where we may think we're doing the right thing or we're doing the thing for the right reasons. But if we don't do it the right way, God's going to judge us for that. So it went on. It says, you have done a foolish thing, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. He would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. And just remember, as I said earlier, they had this leader because that's what they asked for. It's not what God wanted for them, but it's what they asked for. In Jeremiah chapter 17, this is verse 5-8, it says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. If we have our faith and our hope planted in the right place, there is no way that we can be stopped and there's no way that we can be unfruitful. And then there was even more that Saul did. In 1 Samuel 15, this is verse 1, it says, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So then, a little bit further in verse 7, it says, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. So once again, he's told, do this, and he doesn't do it. In 1 Samuel 15:17, it says, Samuel said, Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And he sent you on a mission, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. And then it says, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? And he says, but I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. So once again, it sounds like he's doing something for God, right? Or it could just be trying to get out of trouble. But we need to be very careful, though, because it could be very well that he was just deceiving himself, that he did a good thing. Jeremiah 17, this is verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So, you know, as I was saying before, you know, the ends don't justify the means. It's not just that we had something good happen, but it's also how we did it. And when it comes to like the things that we support, the things that we, the people that we put ourselves behind, if there's any kind of sinful, bad behavior, we can't just write it off. As Christians, we have to judge every action individually. So if somebody does something bad, just, yeah, that wasn't a good thing. Call it that. Don't just kind of like try to skirt around it. Well, you know, I don't know. It wasn't that bad. I didn't really appreciate it. But it's like, no, call it what it is. Wrong. Same thing happens to people who maybe it always in opposition to you, right? Or to your views. It's like if they do something good, say, yeah, that was good. If they maybe do something that's bad, yeah, call that out. But make sure that when you do the same, when somebody you support does the same, you do the same thing. You know, one thing I saw recently was, you know, I'm sure a lot of people here know about the whole immigration crisis on the border, right? Right, where there's just tons of people streaming in. And then they showed these pictures. It was children. And they were in these fenced-in areas. And they were just like spread out across the floor, laying down. They had those Mylar blankets on them. And, you know, this time it was, and first of all, let me say, I am not endorsing one political party or another, okay? Because I think that's just gross to do that from up here. It's not the place. But this time it was the Republican Party saying, you know, this is wrong, this is outrage and everything like that, right? And a lot of people were like, yeah, that is wrong. What is that about? But, you know, I looked it up and I saw a year earlier, I saw the same kind of pictures taken of children laying on the ground with Mylar blankets. A year's difference. So that means that Republicans were in power at the time. Either way, we should be probably not happy about that situation. Okay, children, they don't make decisions about where they go, right? So, you know, it shouldn't be about like, we're talking about politics and everything. We should be talking about people. It's like, do you love that person? Do you want to make that situation better? That's what we should be looking at. That's why back in January, I was saying too many times we're getting stuff intertwined with Christ that does not belong there. Okay? The only one that is good is God. The only one that is right is God. So it goes on in Samuel 15, verse 22. It says, "But Samuel replied, 'Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice.'" You know, nowadays what we would do is we'd ask for forgiveness. If we would have just obeyed in the first time, we wouldn't need to make a sacrifice. We wouldn't need to ask for forgiveness. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word, the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So there's other accounts and reminders in the Old Testament that are similar, where there's even this king and King Asa, and it says that he did right in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, usually when you read that, it's like, yeah, that's a good king, right? Well, he started out strong. He was facing insurmountable circumstances, and he went to God, like, "God, you're the only one that can save me here. Save me." And he did, because our God is faithful. But then later, he went on trying to, what was logical to him, he went and he tried to make a deal with another king to get the support of their army, which, you know, I mean, sounds smart, right? And he won the battle with what he did. So results were good. But he left God out of the decision. And it said that, you know, he made the wrong decision because he didn't seek the Lord. He's like, he trusted in him before, but why not now? That's the same thing that we need to do, is we need to trust in the Lord always. We need to trust in the Lord now. We don't need to try to figure things out, okay? Yeah, God will bless us with knowledge and wisdom of things. He will give us, direction, where it's like, okay, that's a simple decision. I could just make it, right? It's like, well, make sure you truly are following God before you do that. The little things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it even says these things happened to them. And this is talking about in the Old Testament, about Israel and the things that they endured in the desert. And it says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall." And as I read Jeremiah earlier, that he's just the heart, deceitful, wicked, right? We need to make sure that we are truly following after God when it comes to how we're living our life. That we're not just going along with something we heard on the internet, something we saw on Facebook, something somebody told us, something we saw on TV, that we take that as fact. The only facts that we have, the only truth that we have, comes from Scripture. So everything that we do should be filtered through Scripture. And you know, there's a lot of times where whatever we do in life, you know, maybe we do something wrong, make the wrong choice. We didn't seek God and His wisdom, His guidance. There's times where we don't see what the implications of what we did until it's too late. That we see that we have a negative impact on people. You know, when we're talking about Samuel, he was supposed to kill everybody, right? And if you remember, it said that he let King Agag go. right? Esther chapter 3, verse 1 says this. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, we'll say that, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all other nobles. Do you see that title right there? Agagite? He's a descendant of King Agag. And do you know what Haman tried to do? He tried to commit genocide on the Jewish people. Now, do you think if King Agag had died that day when Saul was supposed to kill him, do you think that the Jewish people would be worried that somebody wanted to commit genocide? See, God knows something that we don't. That's the future. There's a reason why he wants us to do certain things. Even though it might be difficult for a season, there's a reason for it. In the end of the book of Job, you know, when Job is questioning, you know, God, why did you do all this to me? God shows him. He's like, hey, I've been here. I created the universe. It's like, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? His ways are so much higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we shouldn't try to put ourselves in that place of God by saying, this is how I'm going to overcome this situation. So, I got this notification on my phone earlier in the week. And the headline was kind of like, got me. And then I opened up the article and it says this right here. It says, Americans' membership in houses of worship continued to decline last year, dropping below 50% for the first time in Gallup's 8-decade trend. In 2020, 47% of Americans said they belonged to a church, synagogue, or mosque, down from 50% in 2018 and 70% in 1999. So, you know, I said earlier, you know, we should always trust in God. He should be our standard for whether or not what we believe is true. Because people, there's a pretty good chance they'll fail us. But it's God who's always going to be truthful. He's not going to fail us. But I do see, I hate to say this, I do see how some people could get the idea that being a Christian isn't necessarily a good thing, because I've seen how Christians have been acting. And, you know, when I was preparing the message, I was just, saying, God, why do I feel like I'm the only person that sees this? God, will you just reveal yourself to them? Let them know how much you love them. Let them know that you are faithful, that you are powerful, and that we need you. Because to be honest, I do feel alone. And I just feel like, God, if I say these things, are they really going to believe me? Are they going to see in Scripture that it's true? Are they even going to go back, look in the Bible, and see, yeah, what he said is true. He has a point. Because I don't like bringing a message like this. There's so much I'd rather talk about. But if you look at the world right now, and you look at the country, and you look at how the name of Jesus is looked at right now by people who don't believe. I mean, we're supposed to live such godly lives, such good lives, that nobody, that the pagans have nothing bad to say about us. But if you look at what's going on now, could it be the consequences of our actions? Could it be that we don't have favor because we've been judged? And like I was saying earlier, you don't have to just take my word for it, and you shouldn't. But I will say, it is very important you search out your heart. You search out Scripture. You ask God, do I need to change? And we heard this a lot recently that, you know, people coming up here, that all we need to do is wait. So I want to read a psalm to you. Psalm 37, this is verses 1 through 11. And it says this: do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. When people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. So I want to close in prayer. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this prayer over you. It's in Philippians. And it's chapter 1, verse 9. And this is my prayer: that our love may be bound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Now, today is the first Sunday of the month, so if you would, Pastor John, come forward and let's receive communion.
Would you agree that this church body has been blessed with such wonderful men of God, women of God? And I just thank God for Abe and his ministry, his heart, and I just thank God for him. So what we're going to do now is we're going to have communion, and for those of you that maybe have not been here all the time, every first of the month we have corporate communion, and every other Sunday we have a communion in the back table so that you can be able to go with your families and do it individually or with your friends and family. So it's always every Sunday we have communion available for everyone. But every first Sunday of the month, we take it corporately. So I ask that as the servers give out the elements that you would hold on to them, and so we could all take it at the same time. While they're placing those elements in your hands, I'm going to read something, a scripture out of Luke. And I asked them to put it on the screen. And this is Jesus at the garden right after his Last Supper with his disciples. It says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, and yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And again, this is Jesus right after he had had time with his disciples. He knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that everyone else would desert him. And he knew that he would be going through physical suffering. But most of all, he knew that there would be a time of being separated from his Father. And of all those things, Of all those things, that is what tore his heart the most, is that he would face a time that he would not be able to reach out to his daddy. But yet he says, not my will, but yours be done. He says, Father, here I am. And he went through what he had to go through so that we could say, here I am. So today, that's your question for me. Can you say, here I am, Lord, to worship you? Here I am, Lord, to make you number one in my priority list. Can you say, here I am for you, Lord, in whatever you ask of me? And here I am, Lord, because of your sacrifice, that I am able to walk into the throne room of the Father, not withheld by any sin upon me because you took care of it. And so today, as we take communion, just remind you that Jesus did all he had to do. And now today, all we have to do is just say, I remember, Jesus. I remember. And we give him the praise and glory for what he did for us. So when somebody gives me some elements, See? Again, that's why I'm married. So on the night that he was betrayed, he was with disciples, and after giving thanks, he broke bread, and he told his disciples that this was his body that was broken so that we could be whole. Please take the bread. And then in the same way, he took the cup and said, it's a symbol of the blood that he shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. So please take the cup. And then as the worship team begins to play another song, just take some time to remember and take some time to see that may we do God's will as Jesus did.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.